Translation. The highest perfection, the highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in the discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. The highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. Please repeat. The highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The impersonalists are very much afraid of hearing the activities of the Lord because they think that the happiness derived from the transcendental situation of Brahman is the ultimate goal of life. They think that anyone's activities, even that of the personality of Godhead, is mundane. But the idea of happiness indicated in this verse is different because it relates to the activities of the Supreme Personality who has transcendental qualities. The word Gunavadam is significant because the qualities of the Lord and his activities and pastimes are the subject matter for the discussions of devotees. A rishi like Maitreya is certainly not interested in discussing anything pertaining to mundane qualities, yet he says that the highest perfectional stage of transcendental realization is to discuss the Lord's activities. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore concludes that topics regarding the transcendental activities of the Lord are far beyond the transcendental realizations of Kaivalya happiness. These transcendental activities of the Lord are so arranged in writing by the great sages that simply by hearing of those narratives, one becomes perfectly self-realized. And the proper use of the ear and the tongue is also achieved. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of such great literatures, and the highest perfectional stage of life is attained simply by hearing and reciting its contents. Om Maginata Maranda Shyatanandana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chitanamana Vishnam Shtapatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Apakadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam. So a remarkable verse which summarizes the whole purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it also gives us a hint of how the message of Bhagavatam is delivered, how we receive it, how it's spoken, how it's compiled, and how we receive it. So there's a few points being made just in the verse alone. The highest perfectional gain of humanity. So there's sometimes talk by various persons, politicians, do-gooders, philanthropists, the highest gain. What is the highest gain for us all? How can we be how can we improve everyone's lot? How can we improve everyone's situation, make things better? But actually no one has a clue. Even if we improve our economic condition or our living condition, because we're averse to hearing about the Supreme, or even averse to hearing about the soul, the dead-end situation continues, life after life. It's not a one-stop event. We might have a stop, Prabhupada describes it, a stopgap solutions. And yes, it may solve the problem just for a day or a week, perhaps even a lifetime. But then the conditioned soul is back again, and back again, and again and again and again and again and again, just eternity, eternity, because the soul's eternal. So there is no long-term benefit from stopgap measures, but they have a place. Those of you sitting here, many of you have been up since the early morning, so you'll be feeling a little peckish, a little hungry. So a stopgap measure is to take some food, and your hunger is satisfied. But the difference between dropping in at the Greasy Spoon Cafe or the hamburger joint is here at the temple and in the homes of devotees. It's both a stopgap measure in terms of eating food, but it's also taking Bhagavat Prasadam. And that has eternal benefit. So the acharyas, the saintly persons, they not only give us the transcendental message, but they also teach us how to transcendentalize. There's a lot of coughing here, isn't there? Not complaining. Have you taken any ginger for this or anything like that? You can tell the winter season's on its way. All the coughing breaks out. And then we take some stopgap measures to perhaps solve the coughing. But better to cough in Bhagavatam class than cough anywhere else. So don't want you to leave. So we're hungry, or we're sick, or we're so many problems in the world. And the mundane literature is either full of distractions to take our mind away from the problems, novels, fictitious fantasies, immersive computer games, take us away from our day-to-day troubles, or take us away from inquiring into what the solution is. Big distraction. And then that's the fiction. What to speak of the reality that's going on? What's going on is in the material world is horrific. Horrific. You watch a nature program. I like to watch David Attenborough nature programs. It's very informative. We're getting insight into the troubles of birth, old age, disease, and death. You see animals eating each other or trying to camouflage themselves that no one sees them and eats them. Or they have escape mechanisms. So many things in the material. Krishna gives them a little facility for protection of the living entity so he can fulfill his desires separate from the Lord. All those species of life, 8,400,000 different ways to forget Krishna. 8,400,000 different nuances. How to get distracted. No, I'm busy. Whatever. But human life, Bhagavatam explained 400,000 different types of human life on this planet and throughout the universe. Human species which have come and gone and elsewhere, upstairs and downstairs and all in between. And many of those human species have no interest, are not even equipped to inquire into the absolute truth. They're not equipped for it, but this particular human species we have, yes, we're equipped if we so wish. But if we choose otherwise, Krishna facilitates. So the saintly persons are actually The saintly persons are more merciful than Krishna. Krishna's most merciful. He's so humble. He gives all facility for his parts and parcels and gives them what they want according to the karma. We may want this, but, well, you haven't got the merit for that. But Krishna will facilitate. Whereas the servants of the Supreme, the pure devotees, the acharyas, they deliver what the conditioned soul needs, not what he wants, what he needs. And the interim stage is, in conditioned life, we get a sense there's something more to this conditioned life. And we want something deeper. We want something higher, based on our desire, many times. There's got to be something more than that. I want to find out something deeper, something bigger, something more substantial. So again, Krishna facilitates. We meet the pure devotee in the form of his books or in the form of his disciples, in the form of his movement. Again, Krishna facilitates. But rarer still are those literatures and those saintly persons who relish and glorify the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. That's very, very rare. Amongst all the religious processes, Prabhupada acknowledges, yes, they speak of the soul and they speak of God, but there's no mention of the name of God. Maybe a little bit. But the pastimes of God? No. There is none. There may be the pastimes of the devotees of God. Yes, to some degree, which gets watered down. Often the teachings are lost or misrepresented. But the pastimes of the Lord himself, where to find? Most of the Vedic literature doesn't touch on that. The Vedas. So much of it is fruitive. How to live in this world. How to get the best out of this world. How to live sinlessly in this world. And then there are those various Puranic literatures which they do describe the pastimes of the Lord. But generally, 99% in his various avatar forms. The avatars of the Lord. Nishinga, Matsya, Kurma, Vamanadev, etc., etc. But pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. It's very, very rare. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat Purana, is the rarest of the rarest. It isn't tinged by any hint or encouragement to perform fruitive activities. And what's more, it's culminating in the 10th canto, it describes the pastimes of the Supreme Lord himself. So the highest perfectional gain of humanity is to hear and relish, discuss the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, what other pastimes are we going to relish? The papers are newspapers and media is full of the pastimes of the mundaners, the politicians, the scandals, the film stars, the scandals, the sports people, the scandals, and the ups and downs, the marriages, births, deaths, he's lost his dog, he's got a new car, all these pastimes. And people, oh look, have you heard? And they start talking. Totally waste of energy, isn't it? And then we discuss the things that affect us in this world, the decisions of others, government policies or this or that. And they affect us. We should know what goes on. Definitely. One needs knowledge of the mundane to know how it works. But one shouldn't dwell on it. One should cultivate knowledge of nescience and transcendence side by side in order to be qualified to leave this world. One has to know how the world works to live here, unless you're a sadhu living under a tree. There's less and less trees, and there's not so many sadhus, and who wants to live under a tree anyway? Who wants to live under a tree? Anyone? Put up your hand if you want to live under a tree. It's cold and wet outside. You might find a big tree you can... No. I don't know how many sadhus in India are living under trees. But as Prabhupada himself said, if I lived under a tree, no one would come in and listen. So, Srila Prabhupada, didn't live under a tree. He was very happy living in the grass hut in Mayapur, and he was very happy living in the grass hut in Bhubaneswar. Actually, Prabhupada was happy anywhere. But he did like that simple living. And when challenged, why have you got such a big temple and why have you got this? He said, well, you wouldn't come and listen. You wouldn't come and hear what I have to say if I was living under a tree. So Srila Prabhupada, he was able to utilize his knowledge and expertise in this world. He was expert. Money matters and business. He knew how to create the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. He had all the, you could say, the skills necessary to employ the world of nescience in the service of the Supreme. That's spiritual. Prabhupada said, this microphone. If I'm singing pop songs, it's material. If I'm describing, we're glorifying Bhagavatam and Krishna, it becomes spiritual. So what's the difference? The difference is intention. My intention. The whole purpose of bhakti is to purify the intention. To purify my intention. Because my intention, it is in itself, it's neutral. The material energy is neutral. Like money is neutral. Money is neutral. Bit of paper. But somehow or other, by consensus, we agree that this is worth some service or goods. But it's a bit of paper. It's not even paper these days. A bit of plastic. Plastic. But by consensus, we give it value. So used in Krishna's service, it carries the spiritual potency. And used in Maya's service, it will degrade. So the whole material world's like that. How we use it. And the saintly persons, they train, they give us guidance and advice and train us how to utilize the material world in the service of the Supreme Lord. And then it's not material. So some points here in this, the highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in the discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Why does Prabhupada say pious actor? I was trying to understand, is there some special significance here? The pious actor is about to reveal himself. So please offer your obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pious actor. Well, an actor is someone who performs activities. And one of the Lord's activities is appearing in his deity form. And with our mundane vision, we may see the material element. But as much as our vision is spiritual, we will, if Krishna wants to reveal himself, yes, he can. In fact, just seeing the form of the Lord is enlivening to devotees. What to speak of discussing his pastimes. And the deity has his pastimes as well. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda were first there in the Delhi Pandal, the big Pandal in Delhi, big tent program in 72, I believe. And then Gokulananda came here and was installed here by Prabhupada. The pure devotee invites the Lord, please come and accept service. Please come and accept service. And even as a deity, the Lord has his pastimes. There are some deities, my name is Sakshi Gopal Das, after the deity who left the altar and walked. Imagine coming down from Mangalati one time when the curtains open and there's no deity. He's gone for a walk. Of course, he doesn't just wander off. It was a whole pastime. Of course, Krishna is so captured by the love of his devotee, he'll do everything for his devotee. He'll even leave the altar and go for a walk, hundreds and hundreds of miles. And then the deity who sat down because his servant couldn't reach him. Which deity was that? Tota Gopinath, yeah. That Lord Chaitanya is said to have entered into in his final pastime. The Lord sits down. Because so his devotee doesn't, out of love, he sits down. And then Bankhi Bihari, the Lord turned round on the altar there. He turned round so that, I can't recall the whole pastime. And Radharaman, is it Radharaman, that self-manifest deity? From a Shalagram Shila, he manifests himself. He even has, I've heard it said that the Lord even has fingerprints on his fingers. So he's a self-manifest deity. So the Lord can do anything for his devotee. So the Lord's wonderful pastimes, they're there to reciprocate with his devotees and even reciprocate with the non-devotees who come to try and kill Krishna, the demons, they want to kill the Lord. So the Lord reciprocates. Okay, come on. And he has a bit of fun. He whacks the demons in different ways, kills them. So these pastimes of the Lord are very relishable by the pure devotees. And no less relishable are the pastimes of the Lord's servants. We read Prabhupada's pastimes, the Prabhupada Lilamrita, and the dozens of biographies which are coming out, well over a dozen biographies of Prabhupada. And this is very nice. We can understand and appreciate the qualities of the Lord's pure devotee. And how many of us don't want to hear the pastimes of the book distributors on the street? There's pastimes going on all the time. These amazing pastimes. Sometimes devotees write about these pastimes, especially Christmas marathon, but so many things going on with the book distributors. Very relishable. So why is it significant? Why don't we get a similar joy when we hear about someone selling newspapers? It's totally different topic, different subject matter, different effect on the person giving the book, receiving the book, reading the book, totally different. Utterly, utterly different. It fills the gap. It fills that that lack, which has been there for billions of lifetimes. We forget it. We don't want Krishna. So the pastimes of the devotees and the austerities they perform to distribute these transcendental literatures. It might be Srimad Bhagavatam, it might be Bhagavad Gita, it might be an introductory book. I can't think of any one of Prabhupada's books where Srimad Bhagavatam isn't mentioned, where Bhagavad Gita is not mentioned, where the conclusion is not mentioned. And depending on the book, depending on the audience, when speaking, Prabhupada tried to fan the flame of interest and enthusiasm. It's not that you dive into the deepest confidential aspects or verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. After all, Bhagavatam, it's 10 cantos before we get to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Because how can we appreciate the pastimes of Krishna without understanding who he is? People take him as just a mundane personality, a lusty youth. No, we're talking about the Supreme Lord. So, pious actor. Any reflections on that word, that description by Prabhupada? Why does Prabhupada call Krishna the pious actor? Any reflections on that? I'm open to... Yes, Prabhu?
But then I'm thinking with actor, because Krishna is elsewhere described as an actor of play, performing pastimes like an actor. In this way, demonstrating
Very good, yes. Good analysis, that. Any other? Any more reflections? Do we have a, sorry, just a, do we have a microphone that we can use? Broken, or so. So I'm sorry for everyone out there, our microphone's not working, so probably continue. The real meaning of piety is Krishna's activities. Very interesting. The real meaning of piety is Krishna's activities, which may appear impious, but actually are transcendent beyond piety, because they're performed by the supreme pious actor. Yeah. And your points were very good as well. So piety, we do think of it generally in mundane terms. But this word Prabhupada uses capital P and capital A. It's not any old pious actor, it's the pious actor. So anything Krishna does is absolute. He tells Maharaj Yudhisthira to tell a lie. And Maharaj Yudhisthira hesitates. He says, oh, I'm not going to tell a lie. That's not pious. He hesitates. And because he hesitates, his chariot's suddenly on the ground. Because he doesn't follow the instruction of the Supreme Lord. Because why? Because everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna and everything is Krishna's. He's the supreme proprietor. He's not bound by what we consider mundane morality. He owns it all. Krishna owns everything. He owns you and I. Everything's Krishna. This is Krishna. There's Krishna. Even you and I are Krishna, but we're tiny parts and parcels. We're tiny infinitesimal sparks of the Supreme. But Krishna, everything's Krishna. You can't separate. So when Krishna wants to rebel against Krishna, that's you and I in the material world. We don't want Krishna. But we have inconceivable potency, the jiva soul. Inconceivable. But in his pure state, the jiva has inconceivable potencies. Limitedly unlimited. Limitedly. But practically unlimited, but limitedly so. Which Krishna is unlimitedly unlimited. So because we're little part and parcel of Krishna, we have total freedom. We can totally ignore Krishna. We can ignore ourselves. So we can end up as a microbe or a kangaroo on David Attenborough's films. Or we can be a devotee here in the temple. Or a devotee at home. Or a devotee anywhere. So these activities of the pious actor are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages. We're going to hear a oh, it's done. I thought we were going to hear a conch shell then. These are arranged, the pastimes are accounted and described by the great sages. So the whole Vedic literature and the whole path of spiritual life is by the grace of the sages, by the realized souls. And these literatures, the Puranic literatures, for example, there are 18 major Puranas, of which Bhagavat Purana or the Srimad Bhagavatam is but one. In the 12th canto, there's a brief summary. 18 major Puranas are the Brahma Purana, Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, Shiva Purana, Linga Purana, Garuda Purana, Narada Purana, Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Agni Purana, Skanda Purana, Bhavishya Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Markandeya Purana, Vamana Purana, Varaha Purana, Matsya Purana, Kurma Purana, and Brahmananda Purana. 18. And there are sub Puranas as well. Yeah. And it goes, in the 12th canto, it goes on to give a summary of the number of verses in each of the Puranas and a summary of what they say. It concludes that thus the total number of verses in all the Puranas is 400,000. In all the Puranas. And 18,000 of these belong to the beautiful Bhagavatam. 400,000 verses throughout the Puranas, and 18,000 are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The spotless Purana. So we're very fortunate to have access to Srimad Bhagavatam. As always, I copy and paste all these different verses and purports. Wow. And then I sit down and give a class, and I never seem to... I just get carried away with a particular line of thought. Of course, we can read up so many things in Prabhupada's purports, declaring the special position of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada describes as a postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita. And a postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam is Chaitanya Charitamrita. But for one who's chanting Hare Krishna, it's understood that he's actually already studied all the Vedic literature. The conclusion is to apply this by practicing and applying the instructions and guidelines of the great devotees, to hear and chant the Lord's pastimes, to chant the Lord's holy names. In fact, the final verse of the last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, do I have it? In the 12th canto, I'm just trying to find it in my... It's a summary. The last verse of the whole Bhagavatam really is echoed in this verse. What we've studied, this verse, with today's verse, it summarizes the whole picture. One last point, I've got to finish here. Such activities of the Lord are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. Just by being near them. So what does it mean to be near them? It means to serve them. But near them doesn't always mean physical proximity, because we can be near Srila Prabhupada by reading his purports. We could be near Prabhupada by fulfilling his desires for his preaching mission. Nearness isn't physical. Proximity is how much I've imbibed his instruction and followed his instruction. That's proximity. That's nearness in transcendental matters. So just let me see if I can find that last verse. It summarizes things. My printer broke down just as I was printing out the last bits and pieces. I think I've lost it. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the meaning. So this Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you for your patience. Are there any questions? Let's read the verse again. The highest perfectional stage of humanity is to engage in the discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.